So we have four speakers. The first one is my good friend and fellow revolutionary, Eric.
How you doing, everybody? What's up? Man, beautiful people. It's so good to see you out here. My name is Eric Steven, and I am one of the founding organizers of the Young, Gifted, and Black Coalition. Word. All power to the people. Right on, right on. So it is beautiful to see you all out here mobilizing for change, for real change, supporting the youth in collaboration. It's a wonderful thing, and it's almost poetic.
Es hermoso aquí verlos todos ustedes, poder estar unidos, poder en este gran día poder movilizarnos y hacer, es muy poético esto.
It's beautiful. But I have to ask you, is it not familiar? How many of you have been on these steps before? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have rallied before? Raise your hand. And I want you to ask yourself, what changes have you seen?
Quiero preguntarles a ustedes, ¿cuántas veces se han pisado estas gradas de este edificio? ¿Cuántas veces han estado aquí y han estado de huelga? ¿Qué han estado aquí unidos? Levanten la mano.
So then we have to ask ourselves, if we're not going to practice insanity, a definition of insanity is repeating the same behavior, expecting different results. So what are the different results that we are getting as people who are spending our time, our energy, our life force to create change? What is the different result? And better yet, what is the different behavior? How many times have you come to these rallies and then left with a good feeling in your heart, a lot of energy? Maybe there's a group or two that forms, and then later on, you just don't know what happened to it. Oh, I was part of that thing later on back then, and we did some marches. But what comes of it? You heard my good friend Tim say that our house is on fire. Many of you know that in all too real ways. But the motivation for real change, is it really there? And is it there where it counts the most, with the players who are the biggest perpetrators? What gets them to mobilize? What gets them to these rallies? We're preaching to the choir, are we not? We all know what the issue is. That is why we are here. So how does being here translate to real action? One of the issues, so there are two big issues that get in the way, two challenges that get in the way of our collaboration and our action and our results. One of them is that we as people don't take care of ourselves. We as people have challenges internally that are stopping us from actually doing the real work, to actually getting the results. We forget that our intent does not always translate to our impact. And even though we're coming to the table with good intentions, I see beautiful signs, I see beautiful, passionate faces, but don't we have personal challenges within ourselves? How many times have you been in a meeting with someone where you could tell, yo, this person right here, you know, the rest of y'all are cool, but this person here, we don't know. And then what about the people who aren't even at the table, who are part of these big companies, these big creators of violence in our communities? What's motivating them? What's changing them on the inside? So one is our personal development. Two, where is the mechanism for collaboration? We tend to think that as long as we just come together and join the meeting with the good intention, that we're going to be okay. We're going to reach our result because these are good people. They're here, aren't they? But can we all have a meeting right now, a successful meeting right now, and reach a positive result? There are different personalities. There are different motives. And what's the platform for collaboration? Furthermore, what is pulling these corporate conglomerates, the agriculture industry, the food industry, what is pulling these folks out of their silos, out of their situations, out of their motives, into a collaborative, partnered effort to save our planet? And we have to ask ourselves, what is the motivation for keeping them there? Everyone who we talk to has their own motive for doing things. People move based on what they are motivated to do. And us being here, I'm sorry to say, is not changing the minds of the people who are dead set on creating profit for their investors, on feeding their families. So how do we get those people off of the seats? How do we change ourselves? How do we collaborate? How do we get people in the game who don't want to be in the game? One of the answers that we've come up with at YGB and Opportunity Inc. is called the Movement Fund. And what the Movement Fund is doing is it's using referral marketing to support, to motivate the support for our individual movements. Grassroots work, social justice work, climate work too often goes underfunded, undersupported, and you see things fizzle out without even a drop. Meanwhile, for-profit startups, et cetera, things that are harming our planet, get all of the funding in the world. And we patronize those businesses. Movement Fund creates an opportunity for us to patronize ourselves and patronize our movements. How many of you can get behind real collaborative results? Raise your hand. That sounds kind of weak. Are we serious about this? Or did we just come out here to have a good time in the sun? How many of you are down for collaborative results? Let me hear you. So I'm sure I'm over my time and I'm going to shut up in a second. But before I go, I want you to do one thing to mobilize, to actually do something as a result of your being in this space, in this energy. I want you to take out your phones, if you have them, somebody's got my phone, and raise it high up in the air. And then I want you to text MF, it's a different MF, for Movement Fund. MF, it's
keep it clean, brother.
MF to 444-999. Text MF to 444-999 and join the movement. Let's see some real results happen. Thank you. All power to the people.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Eric. Okay, we're going to have a little musical break. I did promise you a concert, so let's hear it for Eric De Los Santos. But the times, they are a-changin'. I wish I knew all of the words. But the times, they are a-changin'. Thank you. Beautiful. Oh, my goodness, does that music just make my heart sing. Thank you. All right, we got another speaker for you, the Secretary of State. I ran into him today and I said, Secretary of State Douglas La Follette, would you support a climate emergency? Would you push for a climate emergency? He said, for Tony Evers, for the Evers administration to declare a climate emergency. And I'm going to let the Secretary of State, Douglas La Follette, answer that question for himself.
The answer is yes. My name is Doug La Follette, and I'm your Secretary of State. You elected me to that job, and I'm very thankful and very proud.
Hola, yo soy el senador del estado y ustedes me han elegido para hacer este puesto y soy muy alegre para hacerlo.
But more importantly today, I'm a scientist. I was trained as a scientist. I used to be a professor at the university and I taught environmental science.
Pero lo más importante es que yo soy un científico. Yo he estudiado por ser un científico y lo he sido de la ciencia de ecología.
I've been studying and watching the issue of the environment and particularly that of the climate for over 25 years. As you all know, scientists across the world 99% of the scientists agree we have a problem. It's gotten worse, and now it is a crisis. There's a lot of things we could say about it. I thought of one as I was walking here. I just heard on the news that Washington, D.C. has a drought. No rain. It's drying up. And Texas is underwater. Texas, they're measuring rain in the feet. What's going on? A lot of people said global warming. Then they said climate change. Now people say climate crisis. It is a crisis. I call it climate disruption. We are disrupting the climate. Places getting hotter and drier. People are having to leave their homes. The war in Syria is caused to a large extent by a drought, and farmers couldn't raise food, so they went to the capital. Many of the people trying to come to our country at the moment from the south are leaving because there's a drought and they can't grow food to feed themselves. At the same time, we have massive flooding and over rain. It is a situation that is way past our politicians in Washington to wake up. It is embarrassing to me as an elected person and as a scientist that my government in Washington turns a blind eye, or even worse, turns an aggressively negative eye to the issues of the environment, and particularly now today we talk about climate disruption. So here's my message to you. For the local situation, write the governor a note. We've got a good governor now after 8 years of problems. Send the governor an email, send him a note, stop by the office and give him a personal handwritten note. Tell him that Wisconsin wants to stand with the world and stand with the thousands of people that are striking today and say, we have a crisis, we have to act now. There's a good book that answers this story, and I'm going to give you the title, and then I'll turn back to more music. Naomi Klein wrote a book a couple of years ago, and it says, this changes everything. And that summarizes where we're at today. We've waited too long to avoid problems, and now we have to react in strong and effective ways. Naomi Klein wrote her book, and it said, this changes everything, and it does, and we have to lead that change. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Secretary of State Doug LaFollette. All right, we have a couple of speakers. First, Pastor Nick Utpal. He's a pastor at Advent Lutheran Church and is on the board of Wisconsin Interfaith Power and Light. He's going to say a few words. He's going to say a few words that will be translated in Spanish, and then the rest of his speech will be untranslated. But thank you, Pastor Nick.
Thanks, Tim. In my religious tradition, Jesus says, keep awake.
En mi tradición religiosa, Jesús dice, mantente despierto.
In my religious tradition, Jesus says, let the children come, do not hinder them.
En mi tradición religiosa, Jesús dice, deja que los niños vengan a mí, no que se vayan.
We have those feelings as we gather here today.
Tenemos esos sentimientos aquí ahora.
Today the children are coming. They are coming out from school. They are coming from around the state. They are coming from around the world. They are coming up East Wash. They are coming on strike. They're coming to make their voices heard. They're coming to confront our fairly ignorant and greenwashing power company. And they're coming to confront a governor steeped in education who in this instance has yet to recognize their youthful value and validity. They're coming with strength. They're coming with courage. They're coming with audacity. They're coming to change the future. The children are coming to help us all. As Jesus suggested, let's not hinder them. Let the children come. Though Jesus didn't, and I don't mean it as a put-down, some of the youth involved in this day might not prefer to be called children. That's because there's still a notion in society that children should be kept in their place, that they don't have the standing we adults do, that will take care of business that we know better. Well, these youth today are saying we don't know better. Or maybe more clearly, that we know plenty and haven't done anything about it. It's not business as usual. Jesus says, don't hinder the children, but that's what we've been up to. We've hindered them by not paying attention. We hinder them by not paying attention to their future or their children's future on this planet we're leaving them. With our fossil fuel pollution, we are reducing the potential for their lives and for any life to flourish. Not only hindering, we are contributing to death, an enormous cost for our cheap present. If we consider ourselves protectors of children, we've just about blown it. If we claim to want to keep our children safe, we're falling down on the job. If we say we want them to succeed in life, we're actively obstructing that pathway. Instead, they're picking up the pieces and taking care of us. They are the reasonable ones. They are the faithful ones. As our house burns, they sound the alarm and act like it's an emergency. In this moment, that's our source of hope. And so Jesus is exactly right. Let the children come. Jesus also spoke of scary times, of destruction and devastation. He talked of natural disasters and conflicts and hunger and war. He spoke of darkened skies and when powers will topple. He didn't say it to make us desperate or focus on the negative. It's a warning to put powers on notice. We're at that kind of moment now, of so much apparently bad news. We watch it happen around us in headlines and sometimes in our own backyards. Jesus says this is just the beginning and tells us to keep awake. We're here because we're awake. We look to the children, the youth, because they're awake. We know the hour is late because we're awake. We watch it happen with open eyes because we're awake. We know the ripples and far effects because we're awake. We are reasonable and we are realistic and we are awake. We are eager for action because we're awake. Maybe you're here today because, like me, you are often scared of what this beginning is. It's already so dreadful that I fear it getting any worse, and it stands to get a lot worse. I know it's mostly not affecting me, but it is hitting the vulnerable already. The young, the poor, people who don't look like me or live like me, and millions of other species. The whole world is shaking. And this could be the beginning of the end. Or it may mean that this shaking world will shake up things and topple those power structures, that the death of some of that old will give birth and give rise to new life. It's the 11th hour, 11 years remaining for meaningful action. Time is short, so we'd better not be asleep on the job. We need to be awake. So we don't shut our eyes to this reality. We don't look only with fearful eyes. We gaze wide awake at the difficult present with visions of the vibrant, hopeful future. We're going to be part no longer of hindering, but now enjoy the role of fostering life across this big, beautiful world. We look even with joy in our eyes, knowing that this can be fun, that we're in it together, that life is the best. We're here today, and we're going to keep awake. A better future is on the way. Let the children come.
Thank you, Pastor Nick. Well, the children are waiting for us. And so now we're going to have our last speaker, the representative who represents my district, the 76th district, our very own Chris Taylor. Before she takes the mic, I want to just say that Chris Taylor helped to secure the People's Climate Emergency Office. So all week long, next week only, Monday through Friday, in room 300 Northeast, come to the People's Climate Emergency Office. Find out how you can get plugged in. Help us figure out what's your part in this revolution towards living as siblings that are living in a changed world. So without further ado, my dear friend, Representative Chris Taylor.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thanks to Tim and all of you and all of the faiths represented here today. I'm not a scientist, but I am an activist. And I'm standing here with you today, and we are collectively standing with our children today. I heard once someone say that God sent us our children to teach us what we needed to learn.
Yo una vez escuché que Dios nos envió nuestros hijos para que nosotros podamos escuchar lo que nosotros tenemos que aprender.
And today our children are once again teaching us what we need to learn and how we need to act.
Y hoy día otra vez nuestros hijos están aquí enseñándonos cómo debemos actuar.
You know, it is tragic that our kids have to leave their classrooms and have to come here and march for something so simple that we have failed to do. My 13-year-old son is an eighth grader at O'Keefe Middle School, and it's tragic. Last night, he asked me for a note so he could leave his eighth grade classroom and march, not just for an environment, for his life, for his future. But our children know a tragedy when they see it, you all. They know what's going on. They know what's going on. They see their world burning, flooding, being polluted into oblivion. They see their future being sold to the highest bidder. And let's not forget, you all, it did not have to be this way. It did not. The fossil fuel industry is just way too powerful, and all they care about is money. And they, unfortunately, and I've seen it for 8 years, have gotten a hold of our government and our policymaking, and they have squeezed us out of policymaking. But we're here to say, no way. We are never going to be silent. We are going to keep fighting until the people's voices once again dominate our government. And our children are going to help us do that. Our children are going to help us do this. Over the last 8 years, I've seen some of the worst environmental policies in the history of the state of Wisconsin. In the history of the state of Wisconsin. Governor Walker was more concerned with protecting polluters and his own campaign contributions than protecting our precious environment, our public health, and our kids. And that's part of the reason we're in this absolute mess. The occupant of the White House, who I will not name, just this week threw out a portion of our federal clean water protections, making it easier for polluters to use pesticides and fertilizers that run into our waters, that run into our streams, and end up in our drinking water. To this, we say no. To this, we say no. But out of all of these tragedies, we have seen, and I'm so proud to see our young people leading the way forward. They are not in the grips of the most wealthy and the most privileged. They are fighting for their future, and we desperately need to follow their lead, and that's what we're going to do today. So thank you for being here. Thank you to our great musicians and to all the faith traditions represented here today. We will not stop until truly we have environmental justice for our kids, for our world, for future generations. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Representative Taylor. Okay, the youth are waiting for us.
If you want to walk to the youth in a quiet, meditative way, start lining up over there on the sidewalk. Start moving there now. If you want to walk with labor, there's a sign down there that says, green jobs are union jobs. Worker justice is climate justice. Find that banner. And if you're a pro-labor person, march with the labor people, if you want to. There's a banner down there that says grandparents and elders demand climate action. If you want to march with the elders and the grandparents, find that banner down there and march or parade with them.